Hello, everyone. This is Nataline coming to you from the moon. I'm here at Strawberry Moon Energetics. It's a little experimentation of the sacred donut. Let's begin with a blessing. God, Goddess, all that is, Pachamama, Antepasados, winged beings, all of our souls, counsel, our teachers, our guides, our angels. We call upon you today and we ask you to create sacred space. We ask to create a sacred space of energy around us here on the moon and all those who are listening. We ask to bring peace and harmony. Hello, everyone. This is Nataline Ruth Cruz here again at Strawberry Moon, getting ready. We are ready to record another episode of the Sacred Donut. And today I am here with my podcast crew, Teresa Tio Sanchez, Mariah Cruznano Menjivar, Tanya Tenorio Rashad, and Crystal Ray Montes. Today we have special guest Crystal, and we're going to be talking about many things. And one of those things is the sound healing and frequencies and vibrations and all that good juicy stuff, as Maya would say. She always says the good juicy stuff. So welcome, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
Good day. Good,
good
day.
Good. So before we begin, we will do a couple of shout outs. Shout out to our girl, Christy Aframi. Shout out to OG Candace. We don't even have to give her a last name. Everybody, we know everybody who OG Candace. shout out to Alyssa Mastel. Shout out to Ivy Balpalu. Shout out to Jessica Mora. Shout out to Jovita. And Jovita, I apologize, but I don't have your last name, but I had a moment of thinking about you today and wanted to add you to the shout out list because I know you're a fan of the podcast. And shout out to our little man, Zion Montes, who is also a fan of the Sacred Donut. And it is his mama here today, Crystal Montes, that will be our special guest. And so we got to shout out, little man. And he is Nightmare Brothers on TikTok. So he just started his TikTok. When did he start?
3 days ago.
So shout out to him. He's going to get a nice little boost on his. So for all of you listening, the ones out of you that are have your kids listening that are gamers, tell them to look up Nightmare Brothers on TikTok. And we also want to shout out our, I guess it would be our, I don't know, what do you call it? Fellow podcasters, I guess. The Our World podcast, Jeremiah McAllister and Mike Fieldbush. I think I read that right. I should know their names. I know Mike and Jeremiah. Okay, so I'm going to drop the formalities. Mike and Jeremiah recently had me on their podcast, the Our World podcast, that will be published soon, dropping soon. And so when that is out, we'll let you know. I am one of the guests on their podcast, and it looks like they're going to have some interesting subjects and topics and all of that as well. So what else, Mariah?
Just to follow us on social media.
Follow us on Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter.
And YouTube.
And YouTube, yes.
Yeah, we are on YouTube. Under the Sacred Donut.
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
Yep.
So today we have Miss Crystal Ray Montes, and Crystal is a part of Strawberry Moon community and also a healer and all kinds of other things. And so we're going to let her introduce herself and give us a little bit of background and tell us, how did you end up at Strawberry Moon?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
You're so welcome.
Oh man, just getting prepared for this one, see how I want to dictate this story. So I am originally from Southern Colorado, Gardner. I grew up there. I was raised a Jehovah Witness until I was about 16. I then went into my adulthood and moved to Denver. And as I came to Denver, I started to actually get what I thought were massages from Natalene back in, oh, many, many moons ago. And what turned out to be miraculous healings in my physical being led me to start taking her classes. She was having weekly tea time at Strawberry Moon. All so right. I mean monthly mm-hmm. Strawberry Moon uh-huh. tea time. So I was coming to that. And then through that, I ended up joining the Capulli, which was a 4-year commitment apprenticeship with Natalene. And so I started doing that in 2016. But what led me there was I was inspired by the passing of my grandfather, who passed a month before Natalene's brother, Savano. And so that happened in 2014. I came in 2015 to Strawberry Moon to a purification woman ceremony. And I was just in awe by the connection of the community, the fire, everything that was going on. And so then that led me into my Capulli apprenticeship. And within my Capulli apprenticeship, that led me into a lot of different avenues. I got connected with a Reiki master who then led me to the biofield tuning with the tuning forks. And after I got certified in the tuning forks, I started what I call vibeception. And so my vibeception is vibration in vibration with vibration to bring healing to the biomagnetic field, not only in the physical body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, but the whole luminous body as a whole.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Let's back up.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot. So anyone who's listening that may not know, so Gardner is Gardner, Colorado. We've talked on some episodes that we're from Southern Colorado. Most of us have roots down there. Crystal does as well. Crystal also grew up, so she grew up in the same community as I did, and she went to school with my younger brothers. And so I've known her since she was like little girl, like 3 or 4, I think. And then growing into her adult self. So in that, for those of you who maybe don't remember or don't know, that Capulli is an apprenticeship. It's an apprenticeship to do healing work in a very traditional way, in the curandissimo arts, in the more of a traditional ancestral way of healing, where we use the smoke, the tobacco, and the awas, like the Florida water and the tequila and the egg and other such tools. So Crystal has a background after coming to Strawberry Moon. She has an extensive background in working with as a healer in those ways, and then has found her way into the sound healing, which we're going to talk a little bit. That's going to be our main focus today, but we wanted to get to know her a little bit. So tell us how. So, you know, I know the story and the girls know some of the story, but tell us how you went from being a Jehovah Witness to a Mayan priest guide.
So basically, following my intuition and listening to the message that were sent to me, literally, because I had gotten a text message that Natalene needed me for what I thought was her uncle's funeral. She said, Navalito Kume is having ceremony and I need you there. And I said, okay, I'm going to be there. So I show up and lo and behold, it's a Mayan ceremony. So she's like, isn't Kume your energy? I'm like, energy? What's energy? What are you talking about? She's like, oh, okay, well, just get in the circle. You're okay. And so we had a beautiful experience with the ceremony. And after that, she's like, why aren't you going to sign up to do the 20 energies? And I'm like, well, what's that? And she's like, oh, just go sign up. So here I go, seeking the sign up sheet. And I made it into the 20 energies. And that was in 2017. So now here I am many moons later. And I just went to Guatemala in March and received my full elements to become a Mayan guide. And so that just has to do with the Mayan cosmology teachings. And so it was just really beautiful to be able to branch out into my own beliefs, especially from being brought up in such a strict religion. I was able to then integrate that into the work that I do now through my humbleness, my integrity, the way I show up in authenticity, and that all crossed over from what I learned in my foundation in my religion.
So for clarity, Nahualito or Nahual Kemeh is a Mayan energy. It's one of the energies of the 20 energies in the calendar. So we were doing specific ceremony that night. And so it's still so hilarious to me that, that in that message, she somehow thought she was coming to my grandfather or my uncle's funeral. Her uncle Kemeh. And so that was, to me, so it says everything about Crystal's energy, how she didn't even know what I was calling her for. She just said, Natalie is calling, I gotta go. She felt it in her being to come and not even know what she was doing. In the stories that she's told me over the years about her childhood and growing up as a witness, this was a girl who was very devoted to her spirituality. This was somebody who wanted to preach or share the word of God. So as a very young person, correct, you were out doing some of the older people in your community, in your church, and really knocking on those doors. And I said to her earlier, I can't imagine not opening the door for you as a little girl and wanting to talk about God. Like, this cute little girl is just saying, can I speak to you about the Lord? I would have said, yes, come in, please, because obviously God knows what it's doing if he sent you. And so to have her now on the Mayan path has been beautiful, because she does come with devotion and commitment and responsibility and sacredness. And, you know, she follows the rules. She does what she's asked of, but also in her own cosmic movement. And that's what I love as well, because whether it is in the Mayan path, which we say is not a religion, correct? And coming from a religious background, moving into what we understand to be a cosmology, is a beautiful shift, because one, you really understand what the dedication, the respectfulness, the responsibility behind it. But also when we think of cosmology, it opens up the freedom of your being, right? You're moving in your own cosmic way. And I think that's what is so beautiful about her path, that she's really, when I think about a human being having an evolution, an experience to evolve their soul, she's really had that unique piece. And then in it also real life experiences, right? You have lived the experiences of a human as well. And so to bring you to the point of now being a Mayan guide brings a whole other level of what that means. You don't just do the classes and do the trainings, and you have a deeper understanding. So did it bring you closer to God, to your spirituality?
I think it brought a sense of understanding, because in the process to become baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, you have to go through these steps and you have to meet with the elders and meet with the council and do all of this, right? But nobody ever gives you answers. You just are told, believe this because this is what it is. And I was very meek then, and I said, okay, and this is what they were telling me. But as I grew in my spirituality, and especially the connection of my own four cardinal points in the Mayan cosmology, in my own cosmic movement, I've been able to then integrate that my belief is I have the breath of God within me to have this experience. So that is what I'm going to do. And then when I take out all of the demanding factors of trying to walk in a way that isn't in alignment with my higher self, makes it so fluid. So it makes it so easy. So it's almost like I went through the trenches before I got to my, So yes. It's, you know, my foundation and the way I was brought up has instilled in me that as long as I listen to myself and I'm in my own, I'm taking my own steps on my path. I'm not worried about the people in front of me, behind me, beside me, or who's restricting me or telling me what to do. I have this freedom to walk in a way of bliss and happiness that I've created for myself, not that somebody has demanded of me.
Yes. Yeah, there isn't, you know, we say it's a cosmic movement, your own inner cosmic movement. So in that movement, you can say, I respect someone who is my teacher or my elder or my, or another guide, but I also have to listen to my own inner movement. If that doesn't feel right for me, if that doesn't feel like it's the right timing, and you understand that on your path, you've had to sort of wait for some of the steps along the way. And so you then said, it's not going to stop me from my own, my relationship with the higher power, with God, with the allies, with your own cosmic movement. No one can put a timeline on that. And whatever gifts come my way at whatever time, you understand that to be in the most divine timing according to your program, right? Not coming from somebody else. And I think that's what's beautiful about the Mayan cosmology in the way that we're taught, is that it really teaches you to know yourself. So just for clarity, in the Mayan cosmology, everybody has four energies, and those energies, and depends on where you, you know, different areas have a little bit of differences, but everybody is born with a certain energies, and those energies then can tell you a lot about yourself. And by knowing that, then you kind of know which direction to go in your life. And it also can tell you, like, oh, watch my step here, because I can, I have the potential to get trapped here, or watch my potential here. I should really go that direction because this is what I'm built for, right? And so in comparison to your upbringing in your childhood spiritual life, what did you bring from there that you still carry with you?
Oh, tons. Yeah. Just the teachings themselves. There's so much that correlates that mm-hmm. is misconstrued to be more of a fear factor than a teaching. And I really believe now that within those teachings, it's just a way of guidance. It's not a way of matter of fact, this is how it is. And so if I would have, not what if I would have, but in knowing that now, it makes it easier for me to show up for myself and not feel the guilt of not answering to such a higher power as, you know, one God. If I want to believe that I am part of all that is, then I can do that and be happy about it. I don't have to feel like I'm damned or, you know, that I'm committing a sin because I'm practicing my divine free will.
Yes. And that's really what I want people to feel when they listen to this podcast, is a sense of, like, take the pieces that work for you, like what brought you, what are the teachings? Because in all of our religious studies and spiritual studies, the teachings themselves are the meat, and it's what really can bring beautiful things to your life. But it's the religious traps that get us in trouble, right? And you all know that we have many Catholics sitting at this table. And that's what I want people to understand. Like, I'm never saying like down with your religion. I'm saying, what did you learn? How did you evolve in your teachings, in your religious upbringing? And then how did it bring you into a place of your spiritual? Cause I feel like, you know, it is narrow in some of those religious areas, and the spirituality opens up and says, I'm part of everything and I can move in my own way and still be a moral person, still be respectful to my elders, still be even respectful to the religion I come from, but also understand. And when I hear Crystal's story, it really is a reminder to me. It reminds me of Bless Mi Ultima, you know, the idea in that book of this little boy. And this is how I felt when I hear her talk about her, because she's told me we've talked for many hours about her upbringing and how she would get off of school early so that she could go do her
Go
out on service.
Logged many, many hours.
She was like going to win. She was at the top of the top, right? And I love that, because to me, it is like when a young child is saying, I want to get closer to God. I want to know more. I want to understand more. To me, that says, I mean, their spiritual path is, that's what they're here to do, right? They're really here to seek. And so I love to hear that, and then to see the different teachings that she's had and how she's moves within them and has evolved from there. Any questions you all want to ask her about any of that?
I mean, I think that her path is a lot like a lot of our paths. We were all raised Catholic, Jehovah Witness. We know a lot of people. I mean, Walsenburg, we know a lot of Jehovah Witness from that church. We went to school with a lot of those kids. And yeah, so I think your path was the same way. We were all kind of told what to do, and we did it because they said we should. And about the same age as you, I was like, I read the Bible. I'm not really feeling what you're telling me. It's not matching up, you know, a lot of inconsistencies. And then I was needed to go find my own path. It took me a lot longer than you did, though. I'm still there. I'm still looking.
Yes,
I'm still looking for mine. I know all the things I'm not. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah.
And I think that, like, just to me, a child that just questions, even just is sort of look like, I want to know more. Tell me more. And this is, you know, I agree with Crystal and the idea of all the teachings that I've done, studied in all my life and in all the different traditions and everything. The one thing I love the most about the Mayan cosmology is that there's answers to things that other places teach you, but they can't tell you why. And in this cosmology, it can tell you why. You know, why do we use the egg? Why do we use the tobacco? Why do we use the tequila? And a lot of other traditions don't do that. They do them, but they can't tell you why per se. And, you know, I don't know everybody's everything, but in my experience, that's what's drawn me to that the most. So then how did you, from there, Crystal, you said at what point did you decide, like, okay, I'm doing my Mayan teachings, and you finished Kapuli, and so you would, you know, you've been working with the tobacco for a very long time, and at what point did you decide to go into sound healing?
The one crazy thing about the Mayan path is there's really not dates set. They don't say, okay, we're doing this on this day and you have this. It's not like a curriculum that's set out. So basically, as I was exploring my Mayan cosmology, I was also in Kapuli. And Kapuli, as you said, we learned lots of different modalities of healing, different ways of healing the self, different ways of holding space for others. And I remember you said, you have all the certificates on the wall, but it doesn't mean that I actually use just that one specific modality. So you had said, yeah, I'm a Reiki master. I can do all the things, but I don't teach it because I work more in an energetic, intuitive way than strictly just with Reiki and the symbols. And I was like, okay, well, let me learn what this Reiki is and let me see how this folds out, right?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I come in the boom of everything, so it's like anything local is so, sorry to say it, but expensive. Everybody wants your time and your money. Mm-hmm. And so I found this really good connection that I had on Instagram, and she was doing teachings, and so I did her attunements and I did her teachings, and she would open up with the tuning forks, and she would basically just open up by sounding her 528, and she would say, take a deep breath. And I'm like, what is she doing? What is that noise? And so I emailed her and I'm like, hey, what's that that's you? And she's like, it's a tuning fork. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to learn more. And she's like, well, I really don't know too much about it, but I could send you to Eileen McCusick, who is in Vermont. She's the one that I follow. And I'm like, okay, well, let me look at hers. Well, she has a book out. It's called Tuning the Biofield and Healing with Sound Therapy. And so I read her book and I'm like, man, this is really beautiful. You know, she talks about the brain waves and how the brain actually, the brain itself, as it computes through vibration. And so there's different levels within the brain's consciousness as it's computing these frequencies. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, okay, let me learn more and more. So I reached out to Eileen, and I was actually going to, my sister was living in California at the time, so I was going to go take her class in California. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to her, and she said, she emailed me back, and she's like, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Denver in June. So if you want to just wait, I can, you can just sign up for the class. And
I'm like, divine timing.
Okay.
That's amazing.
If I would have never reached out, right, I would have just flew to California. So she ended up coming here, and she ended up coming here for one time only. She did three series. So she came three times. And so we had level one, level two, and level three. And then we got certified. And after that, she never came back to Colorado. So she still works through a community college in Vermont. And then she has her healing space in California. But anyone else who's doing her classes does them now, you know, since post-pandemic, everything's on Zoom, they have more accessibility. So me, I did training with her one-on-one. There was about 13 people in our class, and it was very beautiful. And so as I learned more about the conscious and the subconscious of the brain and how it affects the frequencies of your cells and how you hold these frequencies. And then, you know, we always say your issues are in your tissues. Mm-hmm. So then it manifests in your body and all of this. And in my personal life, my husband was dealing with seizures, and so I wanted to be able to do something for him other than Western medicine, because what he was taking was not good. It was making him loopy, not feeling well, stomach issues, everything. So then once I started doing the tuning forks, I'm like, you're getting forked, and this is what's going to happen.
You're getting forked.
And he was like, yes, I'm down.
Yes. The outcome of just putting the forks on his body and tuning his frequencies has been amazing. So he's only had three seizures in the last 5 years. So I would say that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When he was having them like once every 3 months.
You know, and I say all the time, everything is energy. And that's a very vague statement, right? Everything is energy. And people are like, yeah, yeah. And it's like, they don't understand that everything carries a frequency. Everything has a vibration. Our whole universe is built on that. And your energy body, your cells in your body have a voltage, right? And so your cells in your body carry a charge. So when you change, when you hit that tuning fork, it reverberates through the energy and hits our body accordingly, right?
And I want to say this through the ether, because we got to remember that in all of these states that the ether is where the shamanic resonance of how nature's frequency at a natural state, right? So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
As I learned the the science behind the tuning forks is our binaural beats. So the way that your brain actually takes in the frequencies of two different sounds, the brain doesn't compile them and then say like, okay, I hear a 10 and a 20, so I'm going to read a 30. No, it says I hear a 10 and a 20, so my binaural beats are going to go what's in between, which is 10. And so it's going to be in those brain waves, right?
Right.
So if you're... The tuning forks that I actually use, the weighted tuning forks, when you put them on the body, the frequencies that they're at is 7.83 apart, because that's when our cells are at homeostasis, our natural state of being. Mm-hmm. And that's when your cells can actually communicate to each other and replicate in that perfect state as they were meant to be. And so by using those binaural beats to communicate the frequencies, it wakes up those cells. And cells are like, hey, hey, and they nudge their friend next yep. to them. And it's just an ongoing like cycle of them saying, hey, hey, we don't have to vibrate at flight or fight anymore. We don't have to be in this state of yep. high frequency. We can actually be in our natural state of being. Mm-hmm. So then we can go into a state of healing, because that's the natural state of the body.
Yes, because once it goes into the natural state, it then heals itself. And that's where people don't understand that, you know, I'm fascinated with the brain. The brain is my favorite thing to work on. And the brain, you know, I talk all the time about your mental attitude. And so the brain, by when those cells communicate with each other, if you're telling your brain, we hate life, those cells are communicating that, and they're nudging their friends. And that friend isn't going back and saying, no, dude, we love life. It's saying, okay, let's jump ship. So by a simple vibrational shift, you then can bring the body to a natural state like you're talking about. And then the body heals itself, right? Because one is going to talk to the other. And this is where I feel it's so important, and why I wanted to do an episode on sound frequency, is because, you know, we know people sometimes will go to like singing bowl gatherings or whatever, but sometimes they don't really know. People go, oh, that's a pretty sound, or it's really cool, or they don't always necessarily, or people that see, you know, look at a flyer or something, says, oh, those woo-woo people are laying on the floor while somebody hits a bowl, or somebody, you know, we do healing fairs, and Crystal does the tuning forks and always has a line, right? Because even mm-hmm. if people don't understand it, they know it does something, if, or they'll try it at least. And the thing about it is, it's such a simple technique, modality that can bring such healing to you. And like you said, I love when I hear, I decided not to take that medication anymore. I decided to try something more natural, because this thing was coming with too many side effects. And you know, I'm always careful, because again, I'm not a doctor. And I'm always careful not to, I don't, you know, talk smack about all Western medicine. Allopathic medicine has its benefits. But this has immense benefits. And we need more people doing this type of work, right? And so to do a community healing garden when we have, I don't know what, 50, 60 people waiting, coming to see us in line, and we only have a few minutes with each one. The tuning forks is one of the best. I mean, how quickly can you put them in a state of homeostasis?
Oh, immediately, because as soon as it connects with the brain waves, it automatically sends it in to that theta state, where you're in that, like, not yet like sleeping, but almost like relaxed a trans yep. meditative, so that you're there, but you're not there.
Yeah. And so that thinking mind isn't saying, I hate life. Now that voice is quiet. Mm-hmm. And when that voice is quiet, the brain goes into that state, right? Quiets the mind, then talks to the body, and the body says, oh, now we can heal ourselves. And this is something that I think is so important, because what Crystal is saying, and what I've been saying about all healing modalities, is that the body heals itself. What we do as energy workers, as sound frequency therapists, and you know, any type of natural healer, because even if we're talking about herbs and stuff, is we're giving the body the support so that it can heal itself. And it can heal itself if given the right environment, right? If you can take it into homeostasis, it then says, I got it from here. Because once it's in harmony, in homeostasis, it then will take evaluation and say, we need to get rid of this, get rid of that, change the state of being. So then, do you tell our listeners how then different frequencies that, because you don't just have one tuning fork that does everything, correct?
Correct. So like I said, within the weighted tuning forks, I use two different forks and they are 7.83 hertz apart so that they can wake up those cells and remind them of homeostasis. But then we go within the biomagnetic field and we actually use the non-weighted tuning forks for the sound frequency. So when I am using the sound frequency forks, I use the 174. So anger is right about like 160, and then you have pride and it's right about 170. So I work with the 174 because what I want to do is I want to get right into your lower energies, into the lower frequencies that you're carrying, not only within your biomagnetic field, but also your physical body. And I actually use the tuning forks to draw them out and away from your being so that then they can go within the biomagnetic field and down to ground star. So what ground star is it's a chakra. So there's many, many chakras within your biomagnetic field. You have many meridians and you have your chi. And so that's your life force energy that is within your biomagnetic field. Well, as we're pulling this energy, as we're bringing this energy into a frequency of coherence that is of higher vibration, we want any of those lower frequencies to find their pathway back to ground star and out of your biomagnetic field, because ground star is actually connected to the biomagnetic field of the universe or the earth. And so that energy, which is consistent and constant, needs somewhere to go if we're dislodging it from where it's stuck, right? Mm-hmm. So the intention is for it to follow your tracks within your tortoise and go down into your ground star and back to the original state of its conception so that it can be transmuted into higher vibration for all of humanity, because it's no longer ours to carry and it needs somewhere to go. So by you giving permission and telling it, it then forces like, oh, I don't need to be stuck here and bringing her down and holding her in the guck. I can let her go, right? So you can then let go of that frequency, that vibration, that stuckness, that heavy, dense energy that's stuck within your biomagnetic field that's causing you then to feel it within your physical body.
Right. And so do you explain that to people, you know, before, like, tell us what a healing, let's say if someone came in to see you, what would a full healing look like?
So you come in first and I'm just like, hey, how you doing? And then I get the weighted tuning fork, and I put it on your body just so that you know what the vibrations feel like and what to expect when you get on the table. So once you get on the table.
And then we will be back for part two.
Amen, so it is. I will leave you in this quiet state. May you have a blessed day, week, month, until we meet again.